today on Real Radio.
Someone's leaving England, coming here. They have a vision. They have a desire to show the world how to live right. Does that sound arrogant to you? Is that not what's needed today? If we stand up and we say such a thing, we'd be criticized and made fun of. Cheer up. They were too.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack has a special message entitled God Calling, which is a celebration of America and how she was founded under God. It's also a recollection of America's founding fathers and their fight for liberty from British rule. But we can't look at the history of the U.S. without coming to one conclusion, that God, even in our decline as a moral Christian nation, still wants to do something very special with our country. Now, as we celebrate the 4th of July, it's important to remember that the birth of this great nation came at a very high price. Both men and women sacrificed their lives in the fight for freedom against tyranny and bondage. It truly is a miracle that America is one of the longest surviving democracies while under the same governing document, the U.S. Constitution. And that's a great reason to celebrate our liberties and our freedom. Today, Pastor Jack wants to encourage us to focus not on ourselves or on our own special interests, but on those things that matter most to God. And what matters most to God is for us to turn and repent from our downward spiral and destructive ways so that He can both bless and heal our nation. And now in his special message entitled, God Calling, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I believe that God is calling out to America. I'm not saying that because I'm supposed to. I'm saying that because I believe it. I personally believe that God has been calling out to America for perhaps decades at least. I believe God is reaching out to this nation. And it's not wishful thinking. We have a tremendous heritage as a people, as Americans. Every nation has its traditions. But you're sitting in a nation, outside the nation of Israel, there's no other country on the face of the earth that can boast the beginnings that the United States has experienced. And we're going to be looking at some of those things today. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, I believe that the word to Israel is a word to us. Beginning at verse 1, the Bible there says, Now the Spirit of God came to Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching prophet, and without the law. But when their trouble came upon them, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, and he was found by them. And in those days, there was no peace to be that those had, nor was there a man who came in among them, but great turmoil, great adversity was on all the inhabitants of the land. Look at verse 6. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city. The people began to tear themselves apart, for God troubled them with every adversity. Number one thing is God is speaking to a nation who he had pleaded with them to turn to him, to draw close to him. And we'll see in a moment that they would not. God had given them a promise. You invite me to walk with you, and I will walk with you. If you reject me, then you leave me outside of the direction that you're going. The God of the Bible does not impose himself upon anyone. He makes invitation. He invites us to draw near to him. And Israel had forsaken God. And the Bible tells us that God brought to them. The word actually means he allowed travail, turmoil to come to them. And the nation began to, first of all, be plagued by civil discord. Their areas of townships and cities and Judah to the south, Israel to the north, civil war began to break out among God's people. They had lost sight of God. The Bible tells us in another place, because they no longer remembered God in their thinking. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And Israel became captives to their enemies. And I wonder how much of that today God would be calling out to America. And is God calling out to America for us to turn? This message today, I pray, is designed to encourage us. But we're on the eve of witnessing yet again the 241st birthday of America. As nations go, America's young. In the history record books of ages of nations, America's not old. 241 years. But America sets a world record every 4th of July. There's no other nation on the face of the earth that has enjoyed the government that we've enjoyed under one document for 241 years, and every year the Constitution sets a record. Did you know that? It's remarkable. No other nation has the same governing body document but us in America. That's a remarkable thing that God has given us. And you heard John Adams a moment ago read it, and I want to read it to you again. That, by the way, was a private letter he had written to Abigail Adams. But this is what John Adams said when he wrote to her when he was, quote, communicating the activities of the Continental Congress on a particular day of July 1776. This is what he wrote to his dear Abigail. John Adams wrote, "This day in July will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary." Listen to him, he's speaking as though he were a prophet. "Anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, illuminations." We call them fireworks. "From one end of the continent to the other, from this time forward forever," John Adams said. You know what's amazing about that? There was no America from one end of this continent to the other yet. And he announces to her, this is going to be the most glorious day, so much so that John Adams and Thomas Jefferson from 4th of July, 1776, no longer again celebrated their own birthdays. They said there's only one birthday worthy of celebrating, and that was America's birthday. What they were able to accomplish, 56 men, that had never been done before in the history of mankind. And you and I today, if we're not careful, we sit here and we get all plump and blessed and happy and content with all that we have, and we forget that all that you and I enjoy that is of value came at a great cost, came at a great price. And that which has transpired in the birthing of America is something that the world had never seen, and what nations today look in upon still with envy. And the genesis of the government that's been given to us was born out of Scripture. Born out of Scripture. Confirmed to us in the writings of the founders, in all of their study and their acquisition of previous governments throughout human history, and in the writings of John Locke, they came to the conclusion that a government would be a people that would select their own rulers and their own leaders, that there would be no despot or king. No one would call the shot by themselves, but they would execute from the halls of government the will of the people. Remarkable, all based upon law. And our founding fathers told us where that law came from. That's why today in the Supreme Court of the United States, front and center, looking directly opposite, are reliefs of the great lawgivers and testimonies of rulers of the past. But in the Supreme Court of the United States, looking right at the face of the Chief Justice, is none other than Moses himself. America was founded upon God's word because God had put liberty in our hearts. And man cries out for that very liberty. It's not only government, but of course, ultimately in Christ, salvation and freedom and liberty from the tyranny of sin and death. And the government that was given to us by our founders, they saw that it was important that God would be at the center of it. Numerous times, Abraham Lincoln, who obviously came along a little bit later, referenced the founding fathers, and he mentioned that this government that had been given to us was of the people, by the people, and for the people. Again, that had never been seen before. But the radical and epic opportunity that was upon this young nation was one that common folk took upon themselves. And often from this pulpit, I've told you that what gave birth, and this is not my opinion, by the way, it's a historical fact, that what gave birth to the pursuit of our founding fathers to seek freedom and liberty, they said came from the pulpits of America. From the 1730s, 40s, and 50s, as these young founders sat as children in churches that taught from the Bible liberty and freedom. It was born in the hearts of these founders. And listen to the words of Thomas Jefferson. He said, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. In other words, why are we doing this? Thomas Jefferson said, here's why. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was a radical statement. And it shook the foundations of England. It shook the crown of England. And England didn't know what to do with that. That there were these colonists that believed, that found upon the word of God, that the God of nature had put it in the heart of man to be free. Not under the tyranny or yoke of a despot. But church, I think, I hope you would agree with me that for some decades now in America, it almost appears, it seems like we've lost our way. America, like Israel of old, is being troubled. And I believe, because my God is sovereign over all things, I don't think anything can happen to America without it being filtered by God Almighty. I don't think anything happens to us without the eye of God being upon us. He may not cause it, but he'll allow it. And I believe in the last several generations, there's been troubles that are coming to America. And I believe those troubles are coming to America because America is on the brink of forgetting God wholesale. America needs to turn back to God like never before. How long will we go down the path of moral decay, of religious decay, of spiritual decay, of cultural decay until we turn around and realize that this is not the right way to go? Humanism is a failure. Wherever it's risen its ugly head, those cultures implode. Self-seeking, self-gratification ends only after one generation, never continues. It doesn't propagate anything but death. But the fact of the matter is, I believe that God has given you and I as Americans, and think about who we are right now. It is awesome. Again, there are people who are still trying to break into the United States. I said that the other day, I'll say it again. This country's the best place on earth still to live. The residual of this nation is still awesome. There are people, there are leaders still, there are nations that want to pattern their country under what this nation stands for. And the issue is, where did it come from? This is not a politic. It's a politic under God. And listen, our founding fathers were so confident in their faith, listen carefully, that they created a secular nation. Did you know that? That a religious body created a secular nation. You say, what does that mean? It means that we would not impose upon anyone a state church. We came out of England. We knew what that was like. No, that man would be able to worship God, listen, or not. Are you an atheist today? Listen, I wanted to say God bless you, but that would be inconsistent with your worldview. Good luck to you. Listen, good luck to you, and I mean that sincerely. Good luck to you, atheists, because listen, in a Christian nation, God doesn't bend your arm and demand that you become a Christian. He invites you. But the amazing thing about this country, and no other country on the earth can boast this, that as believers, we will go to war to defend your freedom to be an atheist. We're not threatened by your atheism. We know who we are, and we know who God is, and we know our American history. God brought forth this nation on this continent, and he did it for a purpose. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 5, God spoke to the prophet through the prophet. He says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with this the potter's clay as I wish, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Insert America in that. Can't God do with America whatever he pleases? Oh, in an instant. The instant I speak, listen, concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom. By the way, that's any nation, any kingdom. To pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I have said it would be benefited. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning disaster and devising a plan against you. For what reason? Because God's mean? Because God's angry? No, listen. Return now, everyone, from this his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. I believe God is saying that to America right now. Why is it on the news cycle that there's a little bit of a riot here and a little bit of a riot there, and this person's disgruntled about that or the other, and it's making national news? Listen, look at what's going on. The slightest disruption is being shown and propagated all over the news channels, and rarely do we see good in this nation. If you were to look at the evening news, you would be completely consumed with how bad everything is. I don't believe it. Don't get me wrong, I believe things are bad, but I believe that America is at a place where it is either going to turn back to God or we will slip into a pit of absolute destruction and despair. And while I look at you, I do not believe the pit of despair is possible while we are able to call out to God. There are thousands of you in this service just today, and I believe that we turned and called out to God and asked him just to heal our land. It doesn't take an army. If it's just a few of us, I believe God will hear. I believe God wants to relent from the evil that might be coming upon us. But do we even care enough to cry out to God? The birthing of this nation was against all odds. It was absolutely impossible. And yet God moved. Churches prayed. People got involved and they fought for freedoms. I believe that God is calling America to remember where we come from. We see this manifestation today with these great songs and with fife and drum. But have we ever studied to see what God brought this nation out of and how he brought us forth? I want to show you this slide. It goes way back, by the way, 1630. Passengers, as I quote, the passengers of the Arabella who left England in 1630 with their new charter, had a great vision. They were to be an example for the rest of the world in rightful living. Think about that for a moment today. Just church, just look at that. Someone's leaving England, coming here. They have a vision. They have a desire to show the world how to live right. Does that sound arrogant to you? Is that not what's needed today? If we stand up and we say such a thing, we'd be criticized and made fun of. Cheer up. They were too. Let's keep reading. Future Governor John Winthrop stated their purpose quite clearly. Quote, we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us. What a tremendous statement. How did he know? The Arabella was one of the 11 ships carrying over 1,000 Puritans to Massachusetts that year. It was the largest original venture ever attempted in the English New World. The passengers were determined to be a beacon for the rest of Europe, quoting Winthrop, a model of Christian charity in the words of the governor. This is American history. When's the last time you studied this in public school? I don't think a president should be elected until they have to read that. Amen. This is reality. This is truth. This is America. You may not like what's being stated here, but this is how America was born. This is the fact. No other country on the face of the earth, get a load of this, ever made as its chief textbook the Bible, but in America. Did you know that? Next slide. The Bible is a book worth more than all other books that were ever printed. Patrick Henry said that. Horace Greeley, it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. Man, that's a strong statement. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom. That's why, by the way, communistic, dictatorial, Sharia law nations refuse anyone to own a Bible. Because somebody might read a Bible and get the concept of freedom. Samuel Adams said that's where he got the concept of freedom. He shared that among his 55 other brothers. When Samuel Adams heard the preaching of the colonial Black Robe Regiment pulpits of colonial America, he understood from Scripture the concept of freedom, and he decided to fight for it. From the Bible, Thomas Jefferson said, I have always said and I always say that studious perusal of the sacred volume will make us better citizens. Thomas Jefferson. Listen to this regarding Jefferson. By the way, what I'm going to read to you right now, the source is the National Council on Curriculum. Listen to this. While being a sitting president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson was elected to be the first president of the Washington, D.C. Public School Board, which implemented the Bible as a text in all public school classrooms. There was a study conducted by the American Political Science Review on the political documents of the founding era, dating from 1760 to 1805. The study found that 94% of the documents that went into the founding era were based on the Bible. 34% of the contents of those founding documents were direct quotations from the Bible. And 88% of students nationwide were educated in public school system using the Bible. This is early America. This is how America was made great, with a foundation. And today, we have a concerted effort to undermine the Bible in the public square. We have people intimidating you when you take your Bible to work or into the classroom. Or they mock or threaten our children because our children are memorizing a Bible verse and they might say it while they're standing in line for lunch. How does this happen? It happens because America forgets God. As Christians, what will we do? As Christians, if there was a second revolution today, where would you be in that? Freedom is given by God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God Calling. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful and safe 4th of July celebration. God Calling is a special message honoring the birth of America, the freedom to worship Christ, and the call to humbly and gratefully pray for God to heal our broken and divided nation. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here at Real Radio, we understand how tough it is to keep growing and maturing in Christ in a world filled with so many demands and distractions. So as we pause to celebrate our God-given freedom as a nation, we can also celebrate our freedom in Christ and get to know Him better. To do this, we want to recommend the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. We've got messages, devotionals, how-tos of Christianity, all kinds of great things on there, all accessible in one quick and easy spot. It's a great resource for you to grow in your faith. Go to your app store and download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.